ACT Radio is taped and produced at the KTEP studios at the University of Texas at El Paso. The views and opinions expressed on ACT Radio are solely those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KTEP, its staff, or management.
Welcome to Animal Concerns of Texas, ACT Radio. I'm Greg Lawson.
And I'm Liz Walsh.
Here on ACT, we talk about how we humans relate to other animals.
We talk about how we use them for clothes, food, and entertainment, and how there are humane alternatives to these practices.
We also talk about how a plant-based diet is the best thing one can do for the environment.
So if you're concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about your health, or you're concerned about the way animals are treated, stick around for Animal Concerns of Texas.
Coming up on today's show, we feature a conversation with Mark DeVries, the filmmaker who made the movie Speciesism, the movie. That's a little later on the show, but first some news. When the animal protection group Mercy for Animals released undercover video of filthy conditions and dairy workers beating and even sexually abusing cows at Betancourt Dairies in Idaho, lawmakers in Idaho took steps to make sure this never happens again. No, not the abuse. The undercover photography by animal protection groups. Last week, Idaho's governor, C.L. Otter, signed a bill into law that criminalizes the act of secretly filming animal abuse at agricultural facilities. Governor Otter, a rancher, said the measure, which was promoted by the dairy industry, is about agricultural producers being secure in their property and their livelihoods. Under the new law, anyone caught making secret video recordings of agricultural operations could face a year in jail and a $5,000 fine. The law also criminalizes falsifying resumes in order to get hired by a farm. Failing to reveal that you are a journalist or a member of an animal protection group when trying to get a job at an animal operation could get a person into worse legal trouble than the three dairy workers who were filmed beating and abusing cows. One of them pleaded guilty to misdemeanor animal cruelty charges. Idaho has become the seventh U.S. state to pass such a law banning undercover investigations at factory farms. These laws allow animal abuse, environmental violations, and food contamination to continue undetected and unchallenged.
According to The Independent, up to 5,000 healthy zoo animals, including hundreds of larger ones such as giraffes, lions, and bears, are estimated to be killed by zoos in Europe every year. The revelation comes in the wake of the international uproar over the killing of Marius, a healthy 18-month-old giraffe, by the Copenhagen Zoo. It has since been established that five of the animals have been put down by zoos in Denmark since 2012. Across Europe, 22 healthy zebras, four hippos, and two Arabian oryx were also put down. Several German zookeepers were prosecuted in 2010 for killing three tiger cubs. However, some zoos do have a policy of not putting down healthy animals. According to Dr. Leslie Dickey, executive director of the European Association of Zoos and Aquaria, between 3,000 and 5,000 healthy animals are put down every year across Europe. This includes animals from tadpoles up to giraffes. She states that less than a few hundred larger animals, such as giraffes, zebras, lions, and bears, are included in the total. She said the true number was not known, as stud books sometimes do not record why an animal is killed. Like Marius, the giraffe, some animals are put down as part of a breeding program designed to encourage genetic diversity in the captive population. Dr. Dickey said that if zoo populations become too inbred, that they would be absolutely no use for future reintroduction programs. But Libby Anderson of welfare group One Kind said that the idea of killing zoo animals as part of a conservation effort is misguided. She states that these animals will never replenish wild populations, and if we want to conserve wild animals, we need to address the challenges that they face in their natural environments.
On the basis of concerns from the American Heart Association and consumer groups, the Federal Trade Commission recently carried out successful legal action, which was upheld by the Supreme Court, to compel the egg industry to stop false and misleading advertising that eggs had no harmful effects on health. Over the years, cholesterol concerns resulted in severe economic loss through a reduction in egg consumption. So the egg industry created a National Commission on Egg Nutrition to combat the public health warnings with ads that said things like, "There is no scientific evidence whatsoever that eating eggs in any way increases the risk of heart attack." The U.S. courts have repeatedly found such outright deception false and misleading. The egg industry has been told by the Federal Trade Commission that they cannot say that eggs are safe, they cannot say that eggs are healthy or can be part of a healthy diet, they cannot say that eggs are nutritious. They were told they could say that eggs were fresh. They can say that eggs are tasty. That's about it. No words like safe or healthy. Over the last three decades, the American Egg Board has spent hundreds of millions of dollars to convince people that eggs are not going to kill them. And unfortunately, most people believe that. Stay with us. Coming up next, we feature a conversation with Mark DeVries, the filmmaker of Speciesism, the movie. That's next on Animal Concerns of Texas. Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas, Mark DeVries. Thanks for being with us, Mark.
Thanks very much for having me here.
Mark, can you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got involved in animal issues?
Well, it's actually the story of the film, in a sense. I first came across just some demonstrations and protests that were in the street in New York City and in Washington, D.C., ones by organizations like PETA. And I became curious about what was behind it all, what was really motivating them. And so I started looking into factory farming, which, as you know, is the way animals are treated today on farms where they're raised for food, where there are thousands of animals kept in super controlled conditions, sort of like a science fiction dystopia with everything, the lighting and the temperature and everything else controlled to the T. And I started learning about that and investigating that. And I picked up a camera and started filming my investigation. And that's how I first started both learning about the issue and making the film.
So you weren't vegetarian or vegan before the film?
When I started doing the initial research on factory farming, I became vegetarian relatively quickly, as you would imagine. But it was only about halfway through making the film that I became vegan.
Wow.
And it was really, because not of the factory farming that I learned about, but because of the underlying ethical issues, the philosophical issues. After I first started doing the investigations into factory farming, I moved on to speaking with some of the intellectuals who lay the groundwork for the animal rights movement, people like Peter Singer at Princeton University and so on. And they argue that our basic ethical principles that we hold among humans, that causing harm, causing suffering is a bad thing, extend to members of other species, to non-human animals, because they're capable of suffering, of being harmed. And so they argue, Singer and many others that followed him, argue that our sort of unthinking assumption against taking the suffering of non-human animals seriously is a form of prejudice, similar to prejudices against groups of humans, like racism and sexism. And so they popularized, of course, the term speciesism, which is the name of the movie. And it was really then that it started changing my perspective from thinking about the issue of the treatment of animals as something that's unfortunate, something that I feel bad about, and so forth, to something that is a really serious ethical and political issue that matters for its own sake. Because I can't justify, as far as I can see based upon these arguments, can't justify drawing some sharp ethical distinction whereby we members of other species so much less seriously. And that's really what got me thinking and got me persuaded to stop supporting industries that use animals for food.
Well, and it's interesting because there are so many people that are vegetarian, and they think that because they don't kill the animal, you know, that they're just taking milk that otherwise would be produced or eggs that chickens lay anyway.
Right.
They don't make the connection of all the suffering that does go on in these massive industries, and there's quite a barrier between drawing the line. They're like, well, I'm not killing the animal. You know, so it's okay to eat the eggs. What are the chickens going to do with all these eggs if I don't eat them?
Right. And it's funny because, incidentally, perhaps unfortunately, the dairy and egg industries are arguably the most abusive.
That's true.
As you know, just to produce, just to breed the hens who are used to lay eggs, since 50% of the chicks who are born are male, they just grind them up alive or dump them into garbage bags to suffocate, things that are some of the worst things that the factory farming industry does. And in the case of dairy, of course, having the newborn calves taken away from the mothers soon after they're born causes a tremendous amount of emotional suffering, both to the calf and to the mother.
So and that's nothing to talk about how they keep the cows pregnant with these
on the rape rack.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the calves become veal. Yeah, it takes many of us a long time to realize how abusive dairy and eggs are.
Well, one thing that I heard on our own NPR station earlier this week was a segment on how the egg industry actually was fighting for larger cage standards for chickens. And guess who was the major opponent against the bill? The pork industry, because they're afraid of gestational crates.
Oh,
right.
You know, we look forward to seeing the film. Liz told me she ordered a copy. I watched the trailer yesterday, and I was a little surprised when one little clip showed a quote from Dr. Steve Best. And I thought I'd let you know that Steve and I started this radio show 11 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's from here in El Paso. He's at...
Right. Yeah, I do know that he's from El Paso, of course.
And both of us, Liz and me, are with the Vegetarian Society of El Paso. And a question we ask many new members is, so what led you to vegetarianism? And often they answer, well, I took this course at the university with Dr. Steve Best.
Oh, that's terrific.
Terrific. So, Mark, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the film? You've said that that's been the motivation for you to go from vegetarian to vegan, but what is the theme of the movie?
So the movie is my experience learning about these issues, and it's also sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally entertaining and engaging. That the part of the idea behind the film is, you know, a lot of people find it difficult to learn about these issues, whether it's watching films or reading things about this. So one of the things that seems like it was a very useful thing to have in the repertoire of people who want to educate people about these issues is something that is fun and entertaining to watch, that people are willing to sit down and watch and enjoy watching. Yeah, so I started off learning about factory farming, investigating everything from egg farms where we did things all the way up to just walking onto the farms and confronting the owners with questions, to pig farms in North Carolina, where it's quite astonishing. They're these giant, giant factory farms with thousands of huge pigs on living on these concrete slatted floors. And all of the manure is actually flushed into these giant open air cesspools, which wreak havoc on the lives of all of the neighbors because it's obviously the smell is horrible and really makes their lives quite miserable. And even worse, they actually spray the manure straight up into the air using these spraying systems that end up spraying manure all over people's houses and cars. So that was part of the investigation. And then we went around the country to many other places and then started learning about the underlying intellectual issues, the idea that it appears that we have a prejudice, this unthinking assumption against taking the suffering of non-human animals seriously. So then we investigated the underlying philosophical questions in a way that I think hasn't really been done before in a film format. To really go into the questions and the reasons why we have to change our attitude towards non-human animals. So it goes into that. And then also what I've really tried to do is answer all of the common objections and questions. So everything from, you know, whether or not vegan food is tasty or nutritionally adequate to questions like what about the fact that animals eat each other or what about plants. I speak with the requisite people about these subjects and go through all of those questions so that I've tried to make it a primer on really all of the major surrounding issues.
I'm interested where you got your financial backing to do this project.
I started actually just by working at various places when I was in college. I started the film at 20 when I was an undergrad, and I went down for a summer and worked at Disney World. And then after that, I worked at Starbucks Coffee and the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C., and Verizon Wireless, and some other places. And I saved the money from all of these things to continue my travels working on the film. So while I was actually doing the film itself, it was all from money that I was just making.
Wow. So are you affiliated with some animal protection group now?
Well, all of the major animal advocacy organizations pretty much are helping promote the film, helping promote the screening and the DVDs and so forth. So if you go to the website, speciesismthemovie.com, so of course, species as in a species of animal, and then ISM, the movie. So speciesismthemovie.com, you'll see a list of screenings that are taking place across the country and around the world. And the major animal advocacy organizations, especially in the United States, are helping bring attention to all of the screenings, which I think makes a big difference. And most importantly, in helping persuade people to bring friends and family and colleagues who are not yet familiar with the issues.
And you've been traveling to most of these showings yourself to do question and answer sessions. What has been the typical audience response? Do you receive some hostility or are people, you know, ready to go vegan after seeing the film?
When I first finished the film, I anticipated that it would be a very split reaction, that there would be people who are affected by it very positively, and that there would be people who really would dislike it strongly. And I've been very surprised that the response has been overwhelmingly positive.
You're great.
At literally every single screening, I receive either emails afterwards or people who come up to me afterwards or both saying that they've decided to become vegan since seeing the film. I receive messages regularly from people saying, wow, the film changed my life. and so on. So it's really been very encouraging to see how positive the reaction has been. And I, part of that, it's not because I'm any kind of great filmmaker or anything like that. It's because I think I really was able to pull together all of the people in the animal advocacy movement who make the most powerful arguments and have been able to look at some of the most powerful issues in terms of factory farming issues and so forth, and pull it all into one place. So I would say it's a result of all of the stuff that I was lucky enough to capture on tape.
Did you have trouble with some of the owners of factory farms trying to get onto their property?
Yes. We initially did things like going on egg farms, for example, and just wandering onto the property and coming across the people who are the actual owners and engaging them in conversations, which was very interesting. As you'll see in the film, I was able to, for a fairly extended time, ask the owner of a major egg farm that has 800,000 birds on this one piece of property to ask her about the questions about the sizes of cages and about debeaking and so forth, right there at the source, at the person who owns those cages. So that was a very interesting and very powerful experience, and actually pretty funny as well in its own way. And later on, I was actually able to persuade some factory farmers to let us onto their property and actually give us a tour around, which was really dramatic, as you'll see in the film.
Well, it's interesting, too, because of all these ag gag laws that are in the news lately as well. There's, and I think Greg talked about that earlier on the show, that I'm surprised that people are still willing to accommodate visits.
Yeah,
right. I think part of it is this particular farm that we went to was supposed to be higher than average standards. So they were, in fact, proud of the fact that their farm was better in terms of there being more room, say 3 square feet per turkey. It was a turkey farm then. 2 feet and 4 inches, things like that. And the fact that, for example, their rates of cannibalism among the turkeys are lower than standard farms.
So, oh, yeah. You can't help but laugh at some, you know, statistics like that. Less of our birds eat each other.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And it's absolutely, of course, because the mindset is such that they're so used to this just being the way it is that they've sort of lost touch with the fact that most people seeing something like that are horrified.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us a little bit about some of the cities that you're taking the movie on tour to.
Well, the movie premiered in New York City and then went to Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Dallas, Boston, and so on, and also has done screenings around Europe and Australia and Canada. And the next stops include, I was actually just yesterday in Providence, Rhode Island at Brown University, and the next week will be Minneapolis, St. Paul, and after that will be Denver, Colorado, followed by Austin, Texas, Seattle, Washington, St. Louis, Missouri, and so on. Ones that are not yet scheduled, but will be include San Diego and Norfolk, Virginia, and Baltimore, and more. It's about one every week that I actually attend, plus a lot of independently organized ones.
And people can learn more about the scheduled showings by going to speciesismthemovie.com, where you have a schedule of where you'll be showing the film.
that's exactly right. And all of the tickets are available online. In fact, they're only available online. So you can get them by going to Speciesism.
Also, if you don't happen to be in one of those cities like us here in El Paso, you can buy the DVD on the website as well.
That's right, yes.
And all the proceeds are going toward
helping further promote the film. Same thing with all of the proceeds from all of the screenings to help to reach more people in more cities. We're going to hopefully be able to continue expanding the tour using the proceeds from the tickets and the DVDs.
We've been talking with Mark DeVries, who's the filmmaker of Speciesism, the movie. We appreciate your time, and we thank you for what you're doing and wish you the best of luck, Mark.
Thank you very much again for having me on.
It was great talking with Mark, and we look forward to seeing the movie, and we plan on doing a showing of Speciesism, the movie, this summer as part of the Vegetarian Society of El Paso's Dinner and a Movie program. So check our website, vsep.org, for upcoming events.
Also, if you'd like to listen to our past shows, they can be found at the archive at ktep.org. Just click on the Listen button.
Until next time, I'm Greg Lawson.
And I'm Liz Walsh. For the animals, the earth, and a healthier humanity, thanks for listening to Animal Concerns of Texas.
Oh, let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth. Peace that was meant to be. Oh, let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my solemn vow. With God as our Father, brothers all are we. Let me walk with my brother in perfect harmony. Let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. Oh, let there be peace on earth, peace that was meant to be. Let it begin with me. Let